Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament Study for Sunday, August 7th, 2016. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker. We love studying the Bible with you, and many of you have just recently joined us. So we encourage you to take a look at the archives at gilberthouse.org, and you can also find in the top right sidebar the schedule, which is usually right. There's about 95% chance it'll be right. Every once in a while, there's a chance of cloudiness in there.
But I think we're back on track after this morning's New Testament study, so I think we're good there. You can also subscribe to the podcast via email, so you get an emailed alert every time we post a new study. And if you prefer, you can subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher, Stitcher, which I think may be changing because Stitcher was recently sold. So I'm not sure what
the... I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, you can subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. The links are in the left-hand sidebar at gilberthouse.org. And we appreciate you joining us and letting us take up an hour of your time here.
We do indeed. That's an interesting way to put it. We're going to ruin an hour of your time this week. But we were laughing when Derek started the ball rolling, started hit record, because I brought in a glass of water and I sat down and I said, wait a minute, I've got a glass of water left over from when we did the New Testament study this morning. So I've got two glasses of water.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, swing away, Meryl. A Signs reference for those of you who have not seen it. It's a really good movie.
Oh, it is. Mel Gibson, M. Night Shyamalan was a director and had a supporting role in the film. And Phoenix... Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. A lot in there about faith. It's a really interesting film.
Yeah, I had an interesting conversation with Brian Godawa about that. Brian Godawa is a Hollywood screenwriter, award-winning writer of the script for the film To End All Wars, starring Robert Carlyle and Kiefer Sutherland.
Two of our favorite actors.
Mm-hmm. He's done a number of other films. He's also the author of a couple of fiction series that we recommend because he embodies he puts the divine counsel concept into a fictional form, and he writes in a very cinematic style, so you can see the scenes unfolding as you're reading them, and they are
Old
really,
Testament
really good.
Sort of, you know, like Lord of the Rings style.
Right. Imagine Lord of the Rings done in the Old Testament, but the final novel in the Chronicles of the Nephilim series was Jesus Triumphant. So he brings it into Jesus time, and I was not aware of this, but there was a giant who was recorded by Josephus in the days of Jesus, one named Eleazar, who was a gift from one of the Roman, I don't know what they call them, governors or whatever, in one of the provinces to the emperor, and was traveling near in the area at the time that Jesus was traveling to Mount Hermon for the Transfiguration.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, Brian, does some great stuff. And now he's working on Chronicles of the Watchers, which is in the post-biblical time, first and second and third centuries AD. So fascinating stuff.
I want to write like Godawa when I grow up.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what is kind of in our minds as we come to our Old Testament study this week, and we'll begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for drawing us together through this technology, and Father, we pray that as we listen, as we study, you will clear our minds of distraction. There are many things in our lives that we can allow to get in the way of better understanding your word, and Lord, we pray that for this hour or however long we read through your word this morning, today, that you will help us to focus. Father, we pray that you'll guide us and help us to understand your word in the context in which it was written. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us then apply it as you would have it applied to our lives and give us the strength to live according to your word and your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today, as we continue our chronological study through the Old Testament, we've got a number of Psalms, and we will then get back to the historical books, First Chronicles.
So not a whole lot of bouncing around, actually.
No, this is actually, compared to most of the recent studies, this is actually pretty tame. A few psalms and then a few chapters from First Chronicles. We'll begin with Psalm 108. A song, a psalm of David. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth, that your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me.
Interesting. Give salvation by your right hand. Who sits at his right hand?
That would be my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we'll see that in Psalm 110 this morning, mm-hmm. as my Lord says to, the Lord says to my Lord, verse 7, God has promised his holiness. With exultation, I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah, my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom, I cast my shoe.
Interesting.
Yes. Even though Jacob and Esau kind of made up there in the book of Genesis, the Edomites and the Israelites were never really at peace. Over Philistia, I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. O, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes.
Now we're going right to the next one, Psalm 109. To the choir master, a psalm of David. Be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are open against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. This also sounds prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds messianic. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer.
Mm. The word translated accuse is Satan, which in the Old Testament is generally, I think there's maybe one exception, but almost every time the word is used in the Old Testament, it is not a proper name.
Right. It's an office.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they reward me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man against him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few. May another take his office. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. I remember in 2009 when we had a new president inaugurated, there was a trend at the time to take essentially the last two digits of a psalm and say, that's the year that, in other words, the year 1900
okay.
began, the first psalm, then it went through.
Right. And so 09 was.
So 09 right. would have been 2009.
Right.
So there were some, and I even looked at this too, but I really could find very little evidence that it meant that. But it does seem to be that we start out with either David speaking about himself or prophetically speaking about mm-hmm. the way the Lord was treated when he was here. And then the wicked man, who may be the Antichrist, let an accuser stand at his right hand. Or this could be speaking of, again, appoint a wicked man against him. This may be Judas against Jesus. It's hard to say in a translation exactly what the original language says. Where's my Kaiser when you need him? When he is tried, let him come forth guilty. Let his prayer be counted as sin. May his days be few. May another take his office. This does sound like Judas.
Mm-hmm.
May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg, seeking food far from the ruins they inhabit. May the creditor seize all that he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his toil. Let there be none to extend kindness to him, nor any to pity his fatherless children. May his posterity be cut off. May his name be blotted out in the second generation. This does sound like Judas.
Mm-hmm.
May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Interesting. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. for he did not remember to show kindness, but pursued the poor and needy and the brokenhearted to put them to death. Now, that does not sound like Judas.
No. No, so, this almost sounds like he's characterizing his enemies by rolling them into like one person and directing it at one person, sort of a literary device.
Could be. He loved to curse. Let curses come upon him. He did not delight in blessing. May it be far from him. He clothed himself with cursing as his coat. May it soak into his body like water. I think when they say cursing, I'm not so sure that they mean saying bad words.
Yeah.
I'm thinking actually cursing someone.
Right.
He clothed himself with cursing as his coat. May it soak into his body like water, like oil into his bones. May it be like a garment that he wraps around him, like a belt that he puts on every day. May this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, of those who speak evil against my life. I think you are right. This does seem to be a literary device. But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. I am gone like a shadow at evening. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. How many of us could write this and really be saying truthful things?
Hmm.
Honestly, you know, how many of us have weak knees through fasting?
Not
too many.
Not in my lifetime have I ever endured.
I am an op, and I mean, you might have weak knees through dieting, but through fasting, when you're doing it for holy reasons.
Yeah.
I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you will bless. They arise and are put to shame, but your servant will be glad. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak. With my mouth I will give great thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throng. Assembly?
Mm-hmm.
For he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save him from those who condemn his soul to death. That's a courtroom scene.
And of course, the prosecuting attorney would be the Satan, the Satan, ha, Satan. Psalm 110, a psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, clearly, this is a messianic reference.
Yes.
And it was mentioned in last week's New Testament study. Peter on Pentecost, saying that this had been fulfilled. You know, how could David say, you know, the Lord says to my Lord?
Right.
Yeah. And then Peter made it clear that he understood my Lord sitting at the right hand of the Lord is Jesus, the second power in heaven. And as Mike Heiser and other scholars have pointed out, during the Second Temple period, which was the period during which Jesus was alive, the period of, you know, the second Zerubbabel's temple, which was rebuilt by Herod, that the Jews understood that there was a second power in heaven as well. They didn't change their doctrine on that until these pesky Christians came along and said, we know who that is. and that's when they dropped it and said, no, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Well, yeah, we understand that, but one meaning unique, not
exactly
the only Elohim, you know. So this is also a verse that has been misapplied by Dominionists. In the Dominion theology movement, they will point to this verse and say, this is why we have to take over the world, because Jesus can't return until his enemies have been made a footstool beneath his feet. And just look around at the world, and does it look to you like the enemies of God have been made a footstool beneath his feet? Well,
no,
except the New Testament says that they have been.
Yeah.
It's just that he's not yet come back to earth to execute the judgment.
Exactly.
Right. So it's easy to take a verse like this out of context and build a doctrine out of it. You can't do that. You have to look at the verse in the context of all of Scripture. So Psalm 110 again, beginning at verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power. In holy garments, from the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. This is really, this sounds like this is a prophecy of the day of the Lord when Jesus comes back.
It does. Well, if you read the verse 3 again in an alternate translation, your people will offer themselves freely on the day of, on the day you lead your forces.
And your people offer themselves freely on the day you lead your forces rather than on the day of your power. And then in holy garments, but the Masoretic text.
On the holy mountains.
Right. Yeah. The Masoretic text is the one that says in holy garments. But some Hebrew manuscripts, on the holy mountains, which is the whole point of this war. Got to flag that one.
I knew you would.
All right. Okay. Verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I know why this also sounds familiar. This is in the book of Hebrews, chapters, I think, 7 and 8, somewhere in there, where the author of Hebrews, most assume that it's Paul, but it might have been Apollos or another one of the apostles. But anyway, whoever wrote Hebrews was writing about how we see the enemies of Jesus made it a footstool beneath his feet, but he has not yet brought them to subjection. He's not yet subjected them, but he will. And when he comes, that sounds like the description from the first three verses here, but Jesus is also called a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And the point of the writer of Hebrews is that Jesus, who came from the tribe of Judah, from which no priest ever came, designated or marked a change in the law, because when there was a change in the priesthood from the tribe of Levi to the tribe of Judah, there was necessarily then a change in the law.
Mm-hmm. He is a priest king.
Exactly. He was the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, once and for all time. We don't need to keep sacrificing animals every festival and every Sabbath to satisfy our sin, because we've accepted, by accepting Jesus as Lord, his once and perfect sacrifice applies.
You got it.
So, anyway, verse 5, the Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. The day of the Lord is the prophetic day when he comes back and smacks down. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. Or also says she will shatter the head over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head.
Well, enough of Psalms. Sadly, we have to move to history now. Yes. I love the Psalms. But First Chronicles, pretty cool stuff, beginning with chapter 23, verse 1. When David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. Now, David assembled all the leaders of Israel and the priests and the Levites. The Levites, 30 years old and upward, were numbered, and the total was 38,000 men. That's a lot. 24,000 of these, David said, shall have charge of the work in the house of the Lord. 6,000 shall be officers and judges, 4,000 gatekeepers, and 4,000 shall offer praises to the Lord with the instruments that I have made for praise. And David organized them into divisions corresponding to the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, Merari, the sons of Gershon. Sorry, did you want to?
Well, I just wanted to add something real quick, that the Temple Institute in Jerusalem has opened up a school now to begin training priests for temple service. They're planning as though the third temple is going to be built and built soon.
Kohanim.
The Kohanim. So they put out a call a few months ago for guys to register who could trace their ancestry all the way back to Aaron, but then there were additional requirements. They can never have come into contact with the dead. So if they were born in a hospital or visited a hospital or ever been to a cemetery, disqualified. It's much more restrictive than what we even see here in the scriptures. But
they just want to make sure that they don't do anything wrong.
I guess so. But they are planning on this. On the third temple being a reality soon.
Verse 7, the sons of Gershon were Ladan and Shimei. The sons of Ladan, Jehiel the chief, and Zetham and Joel, three. The sons of Shimei, Shelemoth, Hatziel, and Haran, three. These are the heads of the fathers' houses of Ladan. And the sons of Shimei, Jahath, Zina, and Jeush, and Bereah, these four were the sons of Shimei. Jahath was the chief, and Zitzah the second, but Jeush and Bariah did not have many sons, therefore they became counted as a single father's house. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Itzar, Hebron, and Uziel, four. The sons of Amram, Aaron, and Moses, Aaron, were set apart to dedicate the most holy things, that he and his sons forever should make offerings before the Lord and minister to him and pronounce blessings in his name forever. But the sons of Moses, the son of God, the sons of Moses, the man of God, were named among the tribe of Levi. The sons of Moses, Gershom and Eliezer. The sons of Gershom, Shebuel, the chief. The sons of Eliezer, Rehabiah, the chief. Eliezer had no other sons, but the sons of Rehabiah were very many. The sons of Itzar, Shelemith, the chief. The sons of Hebron, Jeriah, the chief. Amariah, the second. Jahaziel, the third. And Jekameam, the fourth. The sons of Uziel, I'm going to call them all John. Bruce, the son of Bruce, the chief. The sons of Uziel, Micah the chief, and Ishiah the second. The sons of Merari, Mali and Mushi. The sons of Mali, Eleazar, and Kish. Eleazar died having no sons, but only daughters. Their kinsmen, the sons of Kish, married them. The sons of Mushi, Mali, Eder, and Jeremoth, three. These were the sons of Levi by their fathers' houses, the heads of fathers' houses, as they were listed according to the number of the names of the individuals from 20 years old and upward, who were to do the work for the service of the house of the Lord. For David said, "The Lord, the God of Israel," the Lord, anytime you see it all in caps, that's Yahweh. "Yahweh, the God of Israel, has given rest to his people, and he dwells in Jerusalem forever." Up until this time, he has not been in Jerusalem.
That's right.
He has been in Hebron? No.
No, it wasn't Hebron. It was,
He was just recently moved from there.
Tabernacle.
And so the Levites no longer need to carry the tabernacle or any of the things for its service. For by the last words of David, the sons of Levi were numbered from 20 years up, old and upward. For their duty was to assist the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, having the care of the courts and the chambers, the cleansing of all that is holy, and any work for the service of the house of God. Their duty was also to assist with the showbread, the flour for the grain offering, the wafers of unleavened bread, the baked offering, the offering mixed with oil, and all measures of quantity or size. And they were to stand every morning, thanking and praising the Lord, Yahweh, and likewise at evening, and whenever burnt offerings were offered to the Lord on Sabbaths, new moons, and feast days, according to the number required of them, regularly before the Lord. Thus they were to keep charge of the tent of meeting and the sanctuary, and to attend the sons of Aaron, their brothers, for the service of the house of the Lord.
Let's see. I'm still looking to see where, I'm not sure.
Well, you read the next one and I'll look.
I think it was still at, I don't know, was it Shiloh?
Read.
Yeah, I got to skip back to 1 Chronicles 24
here. Oh, honey.
Here we go.
Poor guy. Hope there are lots of names in there.
Yeah. The divisions of the sons of Aaron were these: the sons of Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children, so Eleazar and Ithamar became the priests. With the help of Zadok, the sons of Eleazar, and Ahimelech, the sons of Ithamar, David organized them according to the appointed duties. It was Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar. David organized them according to the appointed duties in their service. Since more chief men were found among the sons of Eleazar than among the sons of Ithamar, they organized them under 16 heads of fathers' houses of the sons of Eleazar and 8 of the sons of Ithamar. They divided them by lot, all alike, for there were sacred officers and officers of God among both the sons of Eleazar and the sons of Ithamar. And the scribe Shemaiah, the son of Nethanel, a Levite, recorded them in the presence of the king and the princes of, and Zadok the priest and Ahimelech the son of Abiathar and the heads of the fathers' houses of the priests and of the Levites, one father's house being chosen for Eleazar and one chosen for Ithamar. The lot fell to Jehoiarib, the second to Jediah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malkijah, the
Bruce.
Sixth,
yeah,
Bruce. The sixth to Mijamin, the seventh to Hekoz, the eighth to Abijah, the ninth to Jeshua, the tenth to Shechaniah, the 11th to Eliashib, the 12th to Jakim, the 13th to Huppah, the 14th to Jeshebiab, the 15th to Bilgah, the 16th to Immer, the 17th to Hetzir, the 18th to Habitzez, the 19th to Pethahiah, the 20th to Jehezkel, the 21st to Jakin, the 22nd to Gamul, the 23rd to Deliah, the 24th to Maataiah. These had as their appointed duty in their service to come into the house of the Lord according to the procedure established for them by Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. Yes?
I looked it up. It's Kiriath Jearim.
Kiriath Jearim, okay.
And he bought the threshing floor.
From Arana or Ornan, depending on which book of the Bible you're reading. Alternate spellings.
Alternate dimensions.
Spellings are fluid.
Spellings, spillings, yeah. I don't know. Spoolings.
Yeah. First Chronicles 24, beginning at verse 20. And the rest of the rest of the sons of Levi, of the sons of Amram, Shubael, of the sons of Shubael, Jediah, of Rehabiah, of the sons of Rehabiah, Ishiah the chief, of the Issarites, Shelemoth, of the sons of Shelemoth, Jahath. The sons of Hebron, Jeriah the chief, Amariah the second, Jehatziel the third, Jechamiam the fourth. The sons of Utziel, Micah, of the sons of Micah, Shemir. The brother of Micah, Ishiah, of the sons of Ishiah, Zechariah. The sons of Merari, Mali and Mushi. The sons of Jaaziah, Beno. The sons of Merari, Jaaziah, Beno, Shoham, Zakur, and Ibri. Of Mali, Eleazar, who had no sons. Of Kish, the sons of Kish, Jeramiel. The sons of Mushi, Mali, Eder, and Jeremoth. These were the sons of the Levites according to their fathers' houses. These also, the head of each father's house and his younger brother alike, cast lots, just as their brothers, the sons of Aaron, in the presence of King David, Zadok, Ahimelech, and the heads of father's houses of the priests and of the Levites.
You did a better job than I did.
No, I don't
You're
think
really
so.
Good. Oh, you did.
Oh, you got more.
And we're gonna round this out with 1 Chronicles 25. David and the chiefs of the service also set apart for the service the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who prophesied with lyres, with harps, and with cymbals. Prophesied with musical instruments.
Interesting.
I want to see what the original language is there. What's it saying that was translated prophesied? Because that's really interesting. Don't usually think of a musician as prophesying. Yep, sure enough, to prophesy under influence of divine spirit. So next time you look at your musicians, ask them if they're prophesying.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Of the sons of Asaph, Zakur, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Asharelah, Bruce. Sons of Asaph, under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied under the direction of the king. Boy, how often does the king come in and lead the band?
That would be interesting.
Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, and Mattithiah, six under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with the lyre in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. That's cool. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Matadiah, Utziel, Shebuel, and Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliathath, yes, Gidalti, and Romamti Itzer, Josh Bekeshah, Malothi, Hothir Mahatzoth.
You get extra points for degree of difficulty.
All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, according to the promise of God to exalt him. For God had given Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. And they were all under the direction of their father in the music in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the order of the king. The number of them, along with their brothers, who were trained in singing to the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288. And they cast lots for their duties, small and great, teacher and pupil alike. The first lot fell for Asaph to Joseph, the second to Gedaliah, and to him and his brothers and his sons, 12. The third to Zakur, his sons and his brothers, 12. The fourth to Itzri, his sons and his brothers, 12. The fifth to Nethaniah, to his sons and his brothers, 12. The sixth to Bukiah, his sons and his brothers, 12. The seventh to Jesharela, his sons and his brothers, 12. The eighth to Jeshiah, his sons and his brothers, 12. The ninth to Mattaniah, his sons and his brothers, 12. The tenth to Shimei, his sons and his brothers, 12. The 11th to Azarel, his sons and his brothers, 12. The 12th to Hashabiah, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 13th, Shubael, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 14th, Mattaniah, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 15th, to Jeremoth, his sons, these are the days of the month, I assume. To Jeremoth, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 16th, to Hananiah, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 17th, to Josh Bekashah, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 18th, to Hanani, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 19th, to Malothi, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 20th, to Eliathah, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 21st, to Hothir, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 22nd, to Gidalti, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 23rd, to Mahatzoth, his sons and his brothers, 12. To the 24th, to Romanti Etzer, because his name was hard to pronounce. Make him last. His sons and his brothers, 12. So are there 20 days that they are, 24 days of a month, 24 days that they are celebrating some?
That's the 200, that's the 288, 12 times 24.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So I'm not sure why they choose 288.
Well, that's how many sons there were.
24 groups of 12.
The number of them, along with their brothers, who were trained in singing to the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288.
Yeah, but it clearly wasn't calendar-based.
No.
It may just be...
They just wrote... It's a rotor. Okay, 288 of you, so that... Okay, we'll just do...
2 times 12 times 12.
That's good. 2 times 12 times 12. That's, you know...
That's what it was. Yeah. So, and maybe that was the numerical significance. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe they just said, hey, 288, that's a nice,
I don't know.
Divisible by 12 number. That's great.
Could be. There may be, you know what? There are people who would look at this, mathematicians, and they would spend years trying to figure this out.
What's the significance?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes looking at the numerological significance of the numbers is helpful to understand, you know, draw more meaning out of a verse. Sometimes it's just a mental exercise.
Yeah, but sometimes it's a fun mental exercise.
Yeah, can be.
Mental floss.
Need to be careful that we're not reading into, you know, eisegesis instead of exegesis. But we've talked before about these long lists of names, and we laugh a little bit about it, but clearly God and the... God said, thought it was important because it was the Holy Spirit that inspired the chronicler to write down all of these names. and the significance thereof. And who knows, but that there might be some importance to this in the last days. I don't know.
It could be. It could, you know, that's really interesting. What's really interesting, if you think about last days wise, because you've got 2 times 144.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two witnesses.
Right.
144,000.
I know that number just occurred to me here, and I just want to do a little quick 144,000 divided by 288 equals 500. Maybe nothing at all. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know, but if you had 500 dachshunds running at you at the same time, would there be an earthquake?
Probably yes. Yeah, it would. Clearly spin the Earth off its axis. Have that much.
It would be on the antipodal part of the Earth, though. It would go all the way through. And suddenly, people are in China are going.
Take that, Beijing.
Well, it is the first Sunday of the month, and so we will celebrate the Lord's communion,
mm-hmm.
remembering what he did for us.
Exactly. And we just do it in a very simple way, not to make this a ritual or anything, but just as a commemoration, as we are commanded in Scripture, as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.
Amen to that.
Something
now I have another glass over here.
That's three now.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
Swing away. Well, the view from the bunker this week is a very disturbing discussion with our friend Tom Dunn. We met Tom for the first time back in, 2010, I guess it was. The Supernatural Science and Prophecy
Conference. It was. Yes, it was 2010.
Out in Akron, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Russ Dizdar was there. We spoke. Tom Horn was there.
It was Canton, wasn't it?
Canton, right. Same neck of the woods, but Canton is correct. And Tom has been working for a while alongside Russ Dizdar with Shatter the Darkness Ministries, which is a deliverance ministry. They do a lot of work with people who are coming out of satanic ritual abuse. And they have Tom and a partner down in Texas, Jared Crestman, have just released a documentary film called Detestable, which is based on the vision that Ezekiel has, where he's taken to the temple and shown the people who are doing detestable things in God's temple. And what has been done to the people that Tom and Jared interviewed for the film is detestable. It's difficult to watch. I watched it the other night, but I couldn't get all the way through it. I watched about 2/3 of it, and I had to stop because it isn't that they're getting overly descriptive, not showing anything really gory. It's just all of the people who consented to be part of this film to try to help others by sharing their story are basically reopening a wound that has never really healed, and you can see their pain. In America today, in most of the world today, the advanced world, and put that word advanced in air quotes, we don't even acknowledge, most of us, that Satan even exists, that literal evil intelligences are, as the Bible describes them, roaming about like roaring lions seeking who they may devour. American Christians, according to the Barna Group, a majority of American Christians don't believe that Satan is real. They believe Satan is just a concept or an idea that we use to personify our own evil thoughts and desires, which of course contradicts what's in the Bible.
Yes.
So when we don't even accept the literal existence of Satan, how can we give any credence to somebody who says that they've been abused according to rituals dictated by or directed by Satan, something called satanic ritual abuse?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of the satanic psyop, is to get us to not to believe those things.
It's like the lined from The Usual Suspects. Mm-hmm. The French author Charles Baudelaire doesn't get credit for it, but he's the one who wrote it. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled is convincing the world he doesn't exist. Anyway, that is the program on A View from the Bunker. That'll be posted later today, Sunday, August 7th, on A View from VFTB.net, but also on YouTube at youtube.com/Derek Gilbert.
By the way, Detestable is now viewable for a fee, but mm-hmm. you can watch it at Vimeo.
Right. So if you don't want to wait to get the DVD, and the other advantage of watching this on streaming is that you can actually stream it in full HD. I didn't realize until just recently, and I should have known this because it's not that hard, you know, but DVDs don't display HD.
No, that's why people have Blu-ray players.
Exactly. Yeah, for a long time, I said, what do you need a Blu-ray player for? You got a DVD player. You know, the resolution is much, much better on Blu-ray. But Tom has made this available as a DVD rather than as Blu-ray. But you can stream it at Vimeo and see it in full HD if you like. And the same holds true, by the way, for the Skywatch TV documentary Inhuman, which is now available at Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. So if you want to stream the film, you can do so. In fact, if you are an Amazon Prime member, you can stream it for free. That's part of your Amazon Prime membership. And you get to see it in full HD instead of on the DVD format, which is like 720 by 480, mm-hmm. where HD is like 1920 by 1080. It's a huge difference. Yeah. But if you're not an Amazon Prime member, you can watch, you can rent Inhuman for $2.99 for 7 days. Now it's in two parts, so it's $2.99 each. So it's like $6. Mm-hmm. But for $6, you get to watch it for 7 days, and it's worth watching. Not quite as disturbing as Detestable.
But it is disturbing in another way.
Disturbing in another way, and perhaps even a bigger change in what it means to be human, because it seeks to redefine, you know, what we as humans are, mm-hmm. and to present us with a new 21st century religion. But anyway, a couple of films we recommend. But do watch the interview with Tom Dunn, and check out the film Detestable, because, again, the enemy has convinced most of the world he doesn't even exist, which is how he gets away with absolutely torturing children under the radar, because people don't want to admit that it's actually happening. So, Father, we thank you for your word, which has been preserved for us through the centuries, miraculously preserved. And Lord, we just pray that as we seek to better understand your word, we would understand the gravity of the situation, the enemy arrayed against us, but also, Father, the peace that comes from knowing that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, that you have our backs. And Lord, that ultimately, although we will face tribulation in this life, our end, when we are restored to your presence, in the presence of the divine council, that it will be glorious and it will be everlasting. Father, we pray for your comfort and strength for those in need, financially, physically, spiritually. And Father, we just pray that you would guide us and grant us wisdom to better understand your will for us and how we are to live boldly proclaiming the hope and the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troubles sometimes are here, filling men's hearts with